Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Many people who may be listening today, Sharon, that are living a moral life, living some life with some financial integrity, but they're saying, I don't need all this stuff you're giving me. I know that I have good character now, and I wouldn't dispute that. So what we're wanting to do is to let people know that apart from Christ, nothing amounts to anything. And we get very, very confused because when we believe we're doing for others, then why is that not acceptable? Because you look around at so many people that are totally selfish. So we're kind of today looking at the best of the best, and still it's not enough if it's not done by the author of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And today, Janie, we're going to be talking about developing Christ-like character.
Could we take a coffee break?
You're going to teach me something today, right?
I have been in the school of learning all week long. It's amazing how we grow under adversity rather than under the smooth paths. But let me quickly say that even in the adversity, when we will keep our focus upward, it is amazing the things that God wants to show you in the little mundane actions in adversity.
Well, I think in adversity is where our character gets developed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I wish I could say that we could get it in the smooth times. I think that's when we get to enjoy the character and we get to pass it on as encouragement to others that are struggling. But it's formed in the heat of the fire.
Yeah. And that says it right there. You know, when gold is melted down, it's in the fire and it's refined that way. And I really believe that's how the Lord refines us too.
Well, and I will put a practical application with that. When we lived in the Middle East, one of the things I enjoyed doing was going down to the goldsmith market or the gold market. And I would watch them refine the gold, melt it down. And they would sit there with the intensity of some great movie on television, watching the gold and then watching the little black flakes start to surface. And they would adjust that fire constantly to let the dross surface, but not too quickly. It had to come apart slowly. And then they knew just when to turn it up. And then they knew when to turn it back down. And then they would skim off the black little crud that was breaking out of the gold. And then they'd go back and turn the heat up again. And it was a fantastic.
I have never seen that. That's so interesting.
Well, and it makes it so alive about why you have to have the heat to get the dross out of you. Otherwise, you don't feel it, you don't recognize it, and you think you're fine. And the Lord is saying, you're a stench in my nostrils, and I love you with intently, and you're going to see me one day at the judgment seat of Christ. So hang on. This is necessary. And then when you are around someone who has had that purging and that dross taken off, Sharon, you're just drawn to them. Because there's the purity that Christ has been working in all of our lives to conform us to His Son's image.
You know, Janie, that reminds me a lot of how we, me personally, with my kids, think about how our kids, they'll be traveling along and all of a sudden they'll do something goofy or off the wall or wrong. And we've got to discipline them. And in that discipline, they learn in that adversity, what we call adversity in our Christian walk with the Lord, in that we learn. So it's very much the same way that our Heavenly Father deals with us, just like we do our children.
We don't see Him being gentle in that process. And yet when you look back, you realize because you know His character of a heart that was broken to the point that He gave His own Son, that He is dealing with you in the flames, but with a gentleness that you can't feel in the flames, but because you know His character and you trust His character, then you are almost able to feel protected in the fire.
Yeah.
I think we have a Bible story about that.
I was just thinking that too. It sounds a little bit like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace.
I tell you what, let's start off with just a little story today and showing the need for the balance. You and I talked before airtime today about having balance in the character that we want the Lord to place into our life and that we have to take some responsibility for.
Absolutely.
But there was a waitress in this little restaurant, and this fellow started coming in and visiting with her every day, and he would ask her how she was doing and everything. And finally one day he said, "Well, how's your soul?" And she wasn't really sure what he meant. And so he said, "Well, how's your character?" And she said, "Oh, I'm a good person. My mother is an invalid, and I work two jobs to help support her, and I take care of her, and I've given up this, and I've given up that." And for 2 weeks, he came back and just kept asking her about her character. Mm-hmm. And she kept giving him new things every day. Then one day, he said, I want to ask you something special, if you would prepare for me. He said, "Would you go in and have the chef prepare me some pancakes? I would like to have them well done on one side, and I'd like to have them raw on the other side." And she said, "You're crazy." She said, "Nobody's going to eat that." He said, "Well, would you just do it for me?" And she said, "Well, I'll go back and see." And so she made the request to the chef, and he even looked out the kitchen door to see who is asking for raw on one side and thoroughly cooked on the other. But anyway, they got it together, and she brought them out, and her name was Mildred. And he said, "Now, Mildred," he said, "this is kind of where you've been telling me about yourself. You've been telling me about all your good works and how that really does have some good character to it. But you haven't told me about the raw side, the side that can really only have good works that last if it recognizes its sinfulness and its need of good works by God the Father forever and ever. Because you see, Mildred, all the good works that you have on this done side will one day perish, and they'll amount to nothing unless they've been done with the heart of God, through the heart of God, for the heart of God, for all of eternity." Mm-hmm. So, Mildred, until you are willing to get the other side of you finished cooking, mm-hmm. you're lost, and your good works are amounting to nothing. And I thought that was a very potent little story to show how many people who may be listening today, Sharon, that are living a moral life, mm-hmm. living some life with some financial integrity.
Right.
And they may be unbelievers, but they're saying, "I don't need all this stuff you're giving me. I know that I have good character now." And I wouldn't dispute that. I had a precious father who had excellent character in the business world, but rejected Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And even though he had an excellent reputation for almost 80 years.
Being a good man,
mm-hmm. a good father, a man who paid his bills ahead of time, a man who you didn't even have to write a contract with because his word was his bond. But you see, he didn't accept the true living word until today he suffers a life separated from Christ. So what we're wanting to do is to let people know that apart from Christ, nothing amounts to anything if you do not go by the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has said and requested and made the provisions for.
Right.
And we get very, very confused because when we believe we're doing for others, then why is that not acceptable? Because you look around at so many people that are totally selfish. So we're kind of today looking at the best of the best, and still it's not enough if it's not done by the author of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So let me ask you something.
Okay. Oh, no.
When you think about people that you like to be around, what kind of character qualities do you want to find in a person? What kind of character qualities make you comfortable in the Lord, just not comfortable in your own skin, but what do you want to see in a person?
To be my friend? Is that what you mean?
Well, a friend would be a friend to you in a relationship, but that friend would exemplify what kind of character to you?
I would say honesty.
Okay.
Integrity.
And what does integrity mean to you?
Someone that I can trust that would be honest to my face and really mean it when they go home. not tell somebody else something else.
Okay, so you wouldn't want to be around a double-minded person.
Right.
You wouldn't want to be around a person who had the character of deceptiveness, telling one person one thing and telling a person another thing.
Right.
Would you want to be around a person who specialized in the victimization and the blame game?
Oh, no. No. I see that as childish quality, because I see that in my kids a lot, that they're always blaming somebody else or something else, or they don't take responsibility for their own actions.
Okay. But so you would see that as childlike.
Childish.
Childish. Okay. Yeah. Now, do you see that childish character in adults?
Yes.
Okay.
And I sometimes have that childish character. I have to watch myself and make sure that when I start pointing fingers, that I look to see how many are pointing back at me right. And what things I need to fix and change, and what role I played in that result that I'm trying to blame somebody else for.
Okay. Would you be vulnerable enough to share when you realize that you are being childish, how that comes across, so that somebody listening might say, oh, she explodes, or she gets withdrawn, or she gets angry, or she gets wounded? How do you see your flesh reacting so people can say, oh, yeah, that sounds like me?
I react instead of respond. I think that would probably sum it up in a reaction rather than a response to a situation, that a little prideful in that reaction, I'm not wrong.
Mm, okay.
You know, and I didn't stop to think, well, maybe I am wrong in this situation. It's just a reaction. Well, I'm not wrong.
Well, you gave a good action word. You didn't stop. So you really say that you didn't show forth the character because you maybe had a hasty spirit?
A hasty action with my words.
And didn't really think things through.
Didn't think things through, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we all have those. I find that myself, when somebody gets on my case, in the past, I have had a pretty sharp tongue. So if you mess with me, I'll slice and dice you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't see that that is ever found in the scriptures.
Right.
Now, I do see that the Lord had some pretty harsh words when people were going against his father. And there is a time for righteous anger and that character to come out. But the Lord...
But it has to be toward the Lord, not toward you.
That's right. That's right. It has to...
When it's addressed toward the Lord...
Then we have grounds. We have grounds to speak the truth, admonish the unruly. Mm-hmm. And that is given to us in Thessalonians, I believe it's 5.
But we seem to be more... righteously angered.
Yes.
when it's toward us. How dare you?
Can't you see everything I'm doing for the Lord?
Exactly. Can't you see everything I'm doing for you?
Well, and I find that as we traveled overseas and had the privilege of working with many missionaries, we noticed that there was a mindset. They were serving the Lord, but they were greatly wounded because they expected everybody to take care of them because of their full-time service. And if other people did not meet their needs, then they really got a wounded spirit.
Uh-huh.
They didn't recognize that because they were giving their all to save the lost and to be available, and they were going through sacrifice and hardship. So many times when we're in that mode, we do not realize how we are still giving an open door to the enemy. And there are a couple of things that I thought I would just go over with you today and let you comment to me on. And that is, are we wounded or are we broken?
Okay.
And in the Bible, we read about a wounded spirit and about a broken spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And in some ways, the meaning of these two terms are very similar because both of them indicate distress. It's possible that even one person may have a wounded spirit in response to the same situation that will give a broken spirit to someone else. It's how we choose to think. It's how we have chosen to renew our mind, and we've gone over that.
Where we are in our walk with the Lord.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So let's just talk about this a little bit, because perhaps somebody listening, and maybe even as we visit with each other, can see ourselves. In Proverbs 18:14, it says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" Now, I do know that a strong spirit waiting upon the Lord helps heal the body. So in the physical illness and even in an emotional trauma, the Word of God brings healing. But the same Hebrew word that is translated broken in Proverbs 17:22 reads, "A broken spirit drieth up the bones." Now, if it is a same word and one way is being wounded and one way is broken and drying up the bones, let's talk of just a few minutes about what happens physically when we choose then to respond with the wrong spirit. The Bible tells us it dries up the bones. Our bodies are, I don't know, what is it, 97 or something percent water? Huge. I wish I'd checked my facts on that, but I have forgotten them. And so now if a bad spirit, a vengeful spirit, a wounded spirit can dry up the bones, stop and think about what we're talking about health-wise. You don't have the moisture in your body. You don't have the moisture for the blood that the blood needs to make the marrow, and the life is in the blood and it's manufactured in the bones. And I'm not trying to go medical on anybody, but can you see the implication that the way we choose to respond to things, i.e. the character that we have chosen to form in our lives by the power of God, can have such a bearing on us?
There's a direct correlation there between the spirit and the body, and how the spirit affects our physical body.
That's right. You can't put, what do they say, a round peg in a
square
hole. That's right. Yeah. It doesn't fit. So let's just look at what a wounded spirit can look like. A wounded spirit is one that's hurting, one that in which the hurt has festered into really bad attitudes and responses.
Pus.
Yes. Yeah, good.
Gross pus.
Yeah, all right. Okay, and that can be expressed in what? A negative mindset. The person with a wounded spirit is preoccupied with past injuries. They can't get over the past. The past keeps getting pulled up into the present. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked earlier, sometimes we don't recognize that. Sometimes we've had a deep wound. We've gone to the Lord. We have forgiven. We have chosen to move forward and consider that in the past and do Philippians, forgetting those things of the past.
That's right.
But then what happens, Sharon? Pressure comes.
In a different form, but...
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So we're not prepared. If it was the same repeat exactly, we'd recognize it.
Yeah, we'd recognize it. But pressure comes in a different form, and we don't recognize that it's the same thing coming out of us.
That's right. Because we still then have a tendency to start to see things in the worst light. It's not like, okay, now we've got a new challenge. We think, uh-oh, here it comes again. Mm-hmm. And we may not even recognize the feelings, but we feel the feelings, right, and we're responding to them. We have a tendency to see the bad and ignore the good. Our minds are full of woes and suspicions. And what I find is if there is a past hurt that I think I've dealt with, but maybe I haven't, then I get a suspicious nature about others. Are they doing the same thing that so-and-so did 15 or 50 years ago?
So that's a question I have. So if we've forgiven something or someone, an experience or a person that's done something to us, and we've truly forgiven that, is there not wounds still there or consequences or... I mean, what's in there that still causes hurt to come up from other people that do the same thing?
I'm going to use a phrase, Sharon. It's the scar tissue on the soul, or it's the scar tissue still stored in the brain. You have created new pathways, new dendrites in the brain that are laying down new thinking, and you have renewed your thinking. Mm-hmm. But the enemy knows where we are all weak.
Okay.
And he knows where we have succumbed before. So what does he do? He goes in and mixes up a separate brew, if you want to call
okay.
it. And we don't recognize it because it's different circumstances, it's different people, it's a different timeline. And enough stress will cause us then to start reacting emotionally. And when we start acting emotionally, reacting emotionally, uh-huh. emotions are good, but they've got to be the right emotions. But if they are anger, if all of a sudden we get frustrated with somebody, we think, how could they do that? They have been walking with the Lord for 30 years. They should know better. And mm-hmm. we start accusing, even if their actions are wrong, but you are right in analyzing them. And I'll give you an example. In Psalms 106, it says, the people sinned and it went ill with Moses. And I'm used to hit my head and think, okay, the people sinned. Then Lord, how come you didn't deal with how come Moses took the heat for their sin? And the Lord said, because I had given Moses personal instruction. I had given him myself. I had given him the power to react according to me and lead these people. And instead, he reacted, as you said. Uh-huh. He reacted by striking the rock, and that was not something he was supposed to do. He was supposed to speak to the rock. Uh-huh. And instead,
but in his anger toward the people, he reacted.
He reacted. He was hasty in spirit. He was perturbed with them. The word that I believe is really used is he was provoked.
Okay.
He allowed their sin to provoke him. Now you stop and think about
wow.
some things we've even gone through in the last month. And we get a provoked spirit
yeah.
so that it goes ill with us uh-huh. and the people that are doing the wrong look like they're getting a free ride on the roller coaster.
Now, that is so interesting, Janie. I had never connected those dots.
Well, the thing of it is the dots that I want to connect is I want to deal with them so that when I still remember, we still are not away from the Bema. We're still not away from the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
What we're still talking about is how are we going to live our lives to stand before the Lord with a character that he condones.
And really, in doing that, we're going to have a more full life here.
Oh, yes.
More at peace.
Yes.
Not allowing other people's sin to provoke us to anger as Moses did. That is, but did we answer my question?
I think
did we get off on a rabbit trail, Janie?
Well, I think you were wanting to know what was in us that caused us to do this after we have sincerely asked for forgiveness.
Right.
And that is because Sharon, you don't have your glorified body yet.
Okay.
You're a nice looking woman, but you are not with a glorified body. But today there is still junk that we have to deal with. Do you know what 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, and in the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any mean, but the tense is that if we keep on confessing, in other words,
okay.
it's not a one-time thing.
Right.
He continually keeps on forgiving.
You know, one thing that I've noticed for myself over the years is that some things that used to bother me or irritate me or whatever, I've grown out of that. And so it is a continual process.
Yes. Now, yeah. His forgiveness is full and complete one time all in all. So I don't want it to be made that he has to keep re-forgiving you.
Right.
That's the completion right. of the cross. Once and for all. But we then need to keep daily account records, you know,
right.
keep short sheets. Every evening I go through and say, okay, Lord, did I grieve you today in a way that I didn't
know?
So
that confession is more for us to build more Christ-like character.
And not to let the enemy get a stronghold
right.
that we then have to go through pulling down.
Yeah, start getting festers and,
yes.
and digging out thorns.
Well, something that I did this week, and that is something happened and I wanted to withdraw from the situation. And so I chose to start to withdraw, and I found that my joy went down the tubes. And the Lord pointed out to me that if I would reach out the way he reached out, that he would restore my joy. And I can say today, he is faithful. He has done that. So with that proclamation of the faithfulness of Almighty God, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.